think it's very easy to overlook the ascension of Jesus in the church calendar, how it appears 40 days after Easter. And we spend a lot of time celebrating Easter and think about that. And then in just over a week's time, we've got Pentecost. And there's the Ascension Day, which was actually on Thursday, right in the middle of that. And it's so easy to overlook that particular festival. But in skimming over that, sometimes we can forget that it's an essential part of the redemption story. And particularly as I've looked at this passage over the last week or two, it's come back to me how important it is. So one of the questions we're going to look at today is, why does it matter to me? Why does this ascension matter to me? A lot of people have reflected on the ascension over the years, and as you can see by this picture, a picture by Rembrandt, and when I went on and Googled pictures, there are hundreds of pictures all about the ascension, and pictures of how people see Jesus ascending into heaven. Most people, whether they have a faith or don't have a faith, have some view of heaven. They believe in heaven in some way or other. So I just thought it would be useful to take a moment or two to think about what do we mean by heaven? From a biblical perspective, it's not a place that's far away beyond the blue. And yesterday, David reiterated that. It's not somewhere far off. Tom Wright, who's written a lot of books, including books around this sort of subject, says this: heaven is God's space, which interacts with our space, but transcends it. I like that definition of what we mean by heaven. Because in a sense, heaven is all around us. And what I mean by that is, we're often reminded by God, or reminded about God, by the things we see. I mean, I don't know about you, but the beauty of creation quite often just reminds me of God. Even if it's just walking around the park at lunchtime when I'm in Bingley, just seeing God's creation as the trees are coming into leaf reminds me of God. And then every act of generous human love, and certainly with the tragedy that happened earlier in the week, when you see acts of human love that happen in that time, it just reminds you of God and his love. And if you talk to my daughter, she says mathematics is beautiful and reminds her of God. Now, I don't particularly see things in that way. But I think in many ways we all see different things that remind us of who God is and his beauty. So it's not somewhere far off. It's somewhere that is close. And we can see the beauty of God in many different ways. But the Christian hope is not just that we'll simply go to heaven when we die. Although the Bible's very clear, when we die, we will be with him. And that is something we can all rejoice in. We're with him in his dimension. Paul, a couple of weeks ago, reminded us of the man on the cross who spoke to Jesus. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. And so we know we have that hope. But that's not the final Christian hope. It's that God's dimension, that's heaven, and our dimension will come together, will be united. And I believe as we look at it today, that hope that we have of that ultimate coming together of God's dimension and our dimension is something that we really need to think about. In the passage we read today, it said this: then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? So the disciples saw very clearly that was the question. Is your kingdom coming now? Now, Jesus didn't say, no, you've got it wrong, meaning, no, we're all going to heaven. He said this. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times and the dates for the Father has set by his own authority." Then he goes on to say, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes." And when we say the Lord's Prayer, as we've just said this morning, it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God clearly has a plan for his earth that he created. And the glory of it all is we're part of it. At the moment, we see that the earth and the heavens are separated because of our human rebellion. We often call that sin. But the Bible tells us that at one time they will be coming together. There will be a new heavens and a new earth, a renewed heavens and a renewed earth. So we can see here that from the Bible's perspective, heaven's just not an escapist dream somewhere we're going to get away from this life. But it's an extra dimension, God's dimension. And God wants it to be part of our present reality. So the God that lives in heaven wants to be present with us. And we know that as we've done this morning, meeting together and worshipping him, he is present with us as we gather together. You know, when he's with us, he shares our joys and sorrows, and yet we long for the day when the whole of creation will perfectly reflect his glory. Just as we've said in the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So that his love, his justice, his peace will be seen by everyone. So Jesus has gone now. I liked something that David said yesterday. In the passage we read, it said, "And a cloud hid him from their sight." We don't see Jesus now, but he is with us, and we know that. Yet one day we will see him face to face. And that's something that we can truly be excited about and celebrate that that's going to happen. So what is the importance of the ascension then? Why is it important? Why is it such an important part of the redemption story? I found this quote talking about how we can so often look at these festivals that we've been celebrating. It says, "It's not enough to celebrate the risen Lord on one spring Sunday and then forget about what comes next. The ascension is crucial. It's life-changing and eternity-changing for us as believers." So what I want us to do, just spend a little bit of time going on to look at that redemption story. And it's not one of the things I think I've seen over a number of years. At one time, I just saw it in terms of me and God and my relationship with God. But as we've looked at heaven, it's not just about us. It's about God redeeming his whole creation. I think Paul says that the whole of creation was excited when the sons of God came. And that's important for us all. So it can all change the way we look at things. Just as a quick reminder, a flash through the whole Bible, at the very beginning we have the first Adam. And we picture him in what probably the Garden of Eden could be described as heaven on earth, or paradise, or whatever we want to call it. God intended for them to, and it says, "Be fruitful, increase in number, and fill the earth and subdue it." And then Habakkuk later in the Old Testament reminds us that God's intention is to fill the earth with his glory. This is what it says: "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." And then, as we know, we've been thinking how Jesus came to earth and he lived and he died. God himself came to earth with us in human form. And then finally, when we look at the other end of the Bible, in Revelation, there's this verse. And he carried me away in the Spirit, and that's talking, John saying this, to a mountain great and high, and showed me a holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And so there we have, right at the end, this new Jerusalem coming from heaven, from God, and God's kingdom being established in the earth he created. And what I want us to just briefly look at is four reasons why I think we should really rejoice in this time of ascension, as we remember the ascension of Jesus. Let me just read a verse from Ephesians, and this is what it says. God raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. So one of the first things that we need to recognize is that Jesus' mission on earth was accomplished. It was successful. And God, the Father, establishes Jesus as King of heaven and earth. As a first point, Jesus is King of heaven and earth, and we've rejoiced about that this morning in our worship so far. He was on the earth, his birth, his miracles, his teaching, his death, resurrection, and appearances with his disciples brought to completion that work that he had to do on earth. And we also know that he fulfilled all those Old Testament prophecies. As we look back, every one of them that applied to Jesus the Messiah coming to earth and dying, they were all fulfilled. And now, once again, Jesus was able to return to be with his Father and to enjoy his heavenly glory. Because for a time, whilst he was here on earth, for those 30 or so years that he was here on earth, he had to lay aside his glory. He had to live within the limitations of human flesh. And I think there was probably only one occasion where, at the Transfiguration, where we saw a glimpse of Jesus as God. But now, in being ascended to be with the Father, once again, Jesus is able to reign without limit. He is back with his Father, reigning over heaven and earth. So I think that's one really good reason for seeing the importance of his ascension. But that isn't the only thing, because it also says that there are benefits for us. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And again, that's in Ephesians, which brings us into the picture. Now, I really can't get my head around that we are seated with Christ in those heavenly places. But that's what God's word says. He has seated us with him. And that's because he's ascended to be with his Father in God's space. But he has seated us with him in those heavenly realms. Secondly, not only has Jesus become king, but we also have a great high priest, and therefore we have access to God's grace. That's an incredible thing. It says in Hebrews that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Now, I'd often sort of wondered, what on earth does that mean, pass through the heavens? But it's obviously thinking about the ascension. But I just want to just take a moment or two. I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but if we go on to the next slide. This is the Jewish view of the world. And they saw the world, obviously they didn't have the scientific knowledge that we have these days, but they saw the world with these various layers. I like to think of it as an onion, with different layers. Some of the layers were called the firmament in the Old Testament, but then in the New Testament they're called the heavens. And most often, the model had three or seven layers. And we find in Corinthians, Paul talks about Jesus being caught up into the third heaven. And that really is the Jewish view of the world. But basically, it's just saying that the lowest area of heaven, the core of the onion ring, if you like, is the physical world that we live in. And then beyond that, it looks at a second heaven, which is composed of water, great sea dividing the earth from the third heaven. And then the third heaven is the area that's beyond our sight, where God himself lives. And so when you're talking about that in terms of passing through the heavens, I'm sure that's what he was referring to. Anyway, getting back to our main conversation, in terms of this second point, God has, it says here in Hebrews 14, we can now draw near to the throne of grace, that's the space where God is, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at time of need. So secondly, we now have access to God's grace because he, Jesus, is in heaven as King of Kings. Now, it must have been incredibly difficult for the disciples at that time. A lot of confusion and grief because the teacher who they'd known had been killed. Yes, they'd seen him raised again, but now he was going away from them again. He'd been around for those 40, but he was going away. And during that time, Jesus comforts them and promises them an advocate who was going to come. And that is the third thing that we need to remember. It was because Jesus went away back to heaven with his Father that we are able to have an advocate. And this is what it says. It says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." So this is the third reason why Jesus leaving the earth is so important for us. You see, when Jesus was here on earth, he was limited by time and space. If he stayed on earth, he couldn't be simultaneously with one person and another. But because he returned to be with the Father, he was able to send the Spirit so that he could be with us wherever we are, all the time. I know that's difficult to imagine and get our heads around, but when we need him, we don't have to wait till he's come from Bradford because he's seeing somebody else. We can access, he's accessible all the time through his Holy Spirit. And that's because God has gone to heaven, to the God dimension. But one thing we must remember, that God who is in heaven is that man who is fully human and fully God. We have pictures of Jesus in heaven still showing the marks in his hands and the wound in his side. He is still fully God and fully human. And this is what it says here in the Bible. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." And that's from Hebrews 4. So there we are. We have an advocate, but somebody who can relate to how we are because he's both human and God. And lastly, Jesus equips us for the tasks that he's asked us to do through his Holy Spirit. And this is what it says here in Ephesians. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why he says, when he ascended on high, he took many captive and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure and fullness of Christ. So through his Spirit that he sent, he's given gifts to men and women, and those gifts to men and women are to equip us in our daily work. Now, we're all called as God's people to worship him and to be image bearers in his world. And the wonderful thing about the redemption story is that we are no longer exiled from his presence, but he has enabled us to come into his presence and as such to become fully human. In other words, what he already always intended us to be, so that we can worship God in spirit and truth. We can reflect his glory because he's no longer far off, but he lives in us by his Holy Spirit. So as we go about our daily life, we're called to worship God in all we do. And he's given us the equipment to do that. He enables us to do that through his Spirit in everything we do. Whatever we do, whether it's our daily work, our family, our work amongst friends, in the community, he equips us to do everything that we need to do. Just wanted to tell you a story about somebody I knew a while back when I lived in Keighley, over 20 years ago now. A guy called Wayne, who his job was working in a supermarket pushing the trolleys. Now, how many people would like that job? Some days I would, but anyway, but that was his job. But he saw that job as he said, well, when people go into the supermarket and go shopping, they all look fairly miserable. And I don't know about you and I, maybe it's not exactly the best thing to have to do. And he saw his role was to show something of God's nature, to reflect something of God's nature, so that people would go into the supermarket happier than they thought they would go into the supermarket. And I've always remembered that. And he saw that was something he could do. You know, I would have thought before that, well, if all I was doing was pushing trolleys, well, how could God use me? But he saw that, even in that role, that God could use him. And it's something I've always remembered. It certainly taught me something about how we should be in our attitude. So we've looked at four ways in which we should remember the ascension. You know, we've looked at the fact that Jesus has been established as King. We've got access to God's grace because Jesus is our High Priest. And he's sent us an advocate, the Holy Spirit. And we'll be talking more about that next week when we think of Pentecost. And he's equipped us for the task. But this passage that we've read finishes with, I think, a wonderful statement. It almost seems like something that's added on. But the passage we've read today finishes with a great message of hope. Although that we do not see him now, we look forward with great anticipation to the day of his return. At the end of that passage, it points to the day that Jesus is, he's going to return in the same way that he left. That's a wonderful thing to look forward to. And when he returns, he will set all things right. We don't see everything right at the moment, but when he comes back, he will set all things right. So the ascension creates that longing for his return. And in a strange sense, he's reigning already, but not yet. We don't see the fulfillment of Jesus' reign and won't do until he returns. And when he returns, the Bible tells us the bad times will be over. The darkness will lift. Everything will be made new. So, thinking about ascension, as I've thought about it, it's an exciting story of ascension. It gives us a wonderful hope. It's part of that redemption story that we've been thinking about over these last weeks. And the ascension of Jesus has changed the course of our lives and changed our world forever. And so we can celebrate today that Jesus reigns from heaven as our one true King. And we have the Holy Spirit with us, who's an advocate and ever present with us. And God has seated us with him in the heavenly realms. And now we wait with eager anticipation to see him face to face. So as we finish now, I'd like us to sing King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven living in me, gentle Saviour, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end, and all within me falls at your throne. One of the things that particularly resonates for me is that in the next part of it, it says, he has placed us, he's given us royal robes that I don't deserve. He seated us with him in heavenly places. And so let us worship. Let us finish our time this morning as we sing together, King of Kings. Please stand.